In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our readings this evening have been about fighting and conquering. More than that, they were about fighting and conquering with God on our side. And if the readings covered those subjects, then the message we draw from these two passages has to be about fighting and conquering as well. The first scenario was the passing of command from one leader to another in the lead-up to invasion of Palestine. In the second, the background is the battle between the Roman Empire and its enemies, or between the gladiators in the amphitheatres of the Roman Empire. Only about 30 years after Jesus died, the two settings, the Joshua setting and the early Christian setting, are so changed, but the same God is supposed to be at work. And the difference between both of these historical settings and the circumstances of our present age is even more striking. But still, our God, the same God, marches on. Our first response cannot be to deny the God behind the two earlier scenarios, claiming that he was never our God at all. Whatever kind of Christian we may be, Roman Catholic or Protestant, Orthodox, Baptist, High Church, Low Church, all of us have passed this way. We have passed through Joshua. We have passed through the Roman Empire. The God of Joshua is in our religious DNA. And the God of the Ephesians and of the Christians in the amphitheater is in our religious DNA. And the path backward through time is marked with footsteps that are made in this present day and age by our feet. In 1799, my great-great-great-grandfather was transported to Australia for stealing copper from His Majesty's dockyard at Devonport. I cannot just deny the descent, and I cannot alter the fact that I am descended from a convicted thief. The acute poverty of the 1790s that may have led to the crime and possibly excused it no longer applies to me. But the DNA still runs, and in spite of it, the chapter still entrusts me with the cathedral coin scheme. So what relevance can either of the passages still have for us who live in a different age? Can we find common ingredients? There is, in all three settings, in the setting of Joshua, in the setting of Ephesians, and in our own time, a call to fearlessness, simply fearlessness. Be strong, and stand firm, is the enjoinder to Joshua. Be fearless and undaunted, for go where you may, the Lord your God is with you. And the Ephesians, so much later, are told, stand your ground, exert yourselves to the full, grow strong in the Lord. Our cultural setting is greatly changed from both of those. The fearlessness and courage have to be applied in our own day. Not in the amphitheatre and not in the conquest of foreign lands. We have to apply fearlessness to the everlasting dread of death and of illness, to the current difficulties and stresses of our own personal life. We have to apply fearlessness when we pick up the pieces of a shattered life and move on, prepared to forgive, but very often not able to forget. Fearlessly, we have to move on. We have to bring it to the pace of our life and the many, many times demands upon our time and our money. We have to stand up fearlessly for our children in society, in schools, in education. We have to stand fearlessly for users of the health services so that the best of care goes to the members of our family and then all comers in all countries, and fearlessness spreads that care and concern so thin. We have to protect our children and all children against the assaults of pornography, against bullying on Twitter, or misuse of social media. Fearlessly, we have to protect our young ones against a retreat into the virtual world of endless apps and gizmos. Fearlessly, we have to keep up the fight against poverty, slavery, abuse of power, both in our own country and worldwide. Fearlessly, we have to fight for the elimination of discrimination on grounds of religion or gender or colour or sexuality, whether in state, in community, or in church. We have to stand fearlessly against the destruction of our environment, which leads inevitably, inexorably, to the possible destruction of ourselves. There are still around us those ruling forces who are masters of the darkness of this world, as Ephesians put it. Fearlessly, we must oppose them. The choice of cause is for each of us to decide. God leads some to one battle, some to another. There is no uniformity. No pathway is exactly shared with others. No pathway chosen in good faith can be instantly categorized as right or wrong. But whatever we choose, to fight our corner in any of these areas, we need to draw upon all strength God first gave to Joshua, then to the early Christians, and now still to us. Strength of character, strength of conviction, a belief in ourselves because of the Christ who lives within us. We may be poo-pooed, dismissed as ridiculous, fanatical, misguided. We may and do fall out among ourselves as to which is the right path to take. But if we believe our cause is God's cause, he asks of us fearlessness and promises us his abiding presence. At first sight, then, both these readings take us into settings and cultures that would seem to be today irrelevant, of a bygone age. But the God in each of them has, like us, travelled on. And he knows now in each case what each of us faces, whether in personal life, in politics, in church, or chosen cause for which we fight. He asks for our fearlessness and trust. And still, from the oldest of these settings, he guarantees his eternal and loving presence. Go where you may, the Lord God is with you. Amen.